Well, man or God? It's been fascinating following the coverage of the death of Steve Jobs in the last 24 hours. He, of course, was the guy who put the eye into personal computers. One of the founders of Apple, he's been described as an icon, a legend, a genius, the inventor who made technology cool, was out to dinner with friends last night, and we had quite a spirited chat about whether or not he had changed the world. I reckon he has, but some argue that he doesn't deserve the lashings of praise he's received. For example, he didn't invent or didn't develop a cure for cancer, did he? Others say he could have given more to charity, and what about the way Apple's factories are run in China? Well, technology writer and broadcaster Stilgherrian argues that there is a cult of personality around Steve Jobs, but he argues it's deserved, and he joins us now. Good afternoon. Thanks for being with us.
Look, my pleasure, Louise. This has been fascinating, hasn't it? We've seen, like, flowers being laid outside Apple stores around the world.
I've also heard that half-eaten apples have been left at these stores.
Oh, yeah, I don't know that I'd trust that. But, yeah, exactly, because the Apple logo has that bite out of the side.
That's right. I don't know if that's true or not, but I've heard that's what's happening. As part of this, it is a cult of personality, isn't it?
It is, and that was all part of the marketing magic. And people say, oh, well, all that's just marketing. But I say you can create the best product in the world, but unless you actually market it, no one buys it. And that's an important part of the equation.
So why is there such a cult of personality about him, and which has continued on to the sort of media coverage that we've seen, that the front page of the Sydney Morning Herald today, designed like an iPad?
I can see like a few threads to this. One is that the design of Apple's products was just superb, and that was because of the attention to detail. And all right, Steve Jobs didn't do that himself. For example, all of the physical design of Apple products for the last, well, quite a few years, that was Jonathan Ive, a man who's an Englishman. He's been with Apple for a while, and he actually did the whole kind of this is what they'll look at, look like, rather. But, Steve Jobs as the CEO was someone who could push through and ensure that that vision was achieved, even if the accountant said, that might cost $20 more per unit, or we could make it work a bit better, this way, or whatever it might be. So you had that, I suppose, I really don't want to compare it with, inventors like Thomas Edison, but the same thing happened. Everyone goes, oh, Thomas Edison invented the light bulb and invented this and invented the other. I mean, he didn't. What he did was create the industrial scale research organization that made that possible. And in the same way, Steve Jobs didn't, write the program code. He didn't design the devices. But what he did was create the organization that made that possible. And indeed, he took it from the time where he was actually kicked out of CEO as Apple for a while back in the 80s. And they then brought him back because there was a period when Apple was within weeks of bankruptcy. And from that, Steve Jobs turned it around to be the biggest, richest technology company in the world.
Was he as much a marketing genius as he was, a technology genius, do you think, Stilgherrian?
Oh, absolutely. And the two examples I always use for this, one, way back in 1977, when his co-founder of Apple Computer, the other Steve Wozniak, the Woz he was called, he was the hardware genius. He could, design the circuit boards and reduce the number of computer chips required to make it happen so it was cost-effective. He was an absolute genius. And he helped create the Apple II, which was the first really mass-produced popular microcomputer, as they were called back in 1977. But it was Steve Jobs who said, hang on, unlike all the others, this one has colour. So we've got to make sure that the Apple logo back then was the Apple, but with rainbow colour stripes through it. And the other example I always use is the fact that even to this day, you buy an Apple product, whether it's an iPad, one of the big desktop computers, whatever it is, an iPod, you open it up, and one of the first things you see is a blank, like a blank sheet of paper, cardboard, and there's just one line of text on it, quite small against a big blank space, and it says, designed by Apple in California. And just that word, California, brings up, you know, it's sunshine, it's surf, it's freedom, it's rebellion. And I think that's an amazing statement about marketing, because, in fact, Apple is one of the most controlled, secretive corporations on the planet.
And a lot more colour than someone such as Bill Gates, who, you know, is such a genius himself.
Absolutely. And Bill Gates was for a long time criticised as the imitator of Steve Jobs. I mean, the whole desktop interface of computers we use today, with a menu bar across the top, drop-down menus, windows on the screen that overlap and we can decide which one is at the front. Now, that wasn't invented by Apple. It was invented, through research through the late 1960s, early 1970s. It was how the experimental kind of computing interface was working. But it was Steve Jobs paid a visit to the people who were working on this and went, that's how computers should be. I will make that happen at Apple. And it was only later that Microsoft copied it. And there was for a long time this whole, even a battle of egos between Apple, who were seen as inventing or at least bringing this technology to the marketplace, and Microsoft copying it, but being the ones who for a while there, of course, Bill Gates was the richest man on the planet.
Stilgherrian, good to talk to you as always. Thanks for being part of 666 Drive.
My pleasure, Louise.
IT writer and broadcaster Stilgherrian.